Hey gang, exciting episode of National Google Review on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's a progress report of free speech. Why? Because, well, I'm giving you a progress report. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send badly needed fundage, you know where, to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it into 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. Okay, so this here is Boomer Vision. I don't know if Paul Stevenson's calling me up today or not. We were going to record something yesterday for today. Didn't happen. So maybe if he calls me up, then maybe this will be for Friday's show. Otherwise, it's probably for Thursday's show. So we're just going to go over some stuff. Progress report. First off, there's been controversy regarding Candace Owens. Now, y'all know that I've been very positive about Candace Owens some months ago, starting to talk about, wait for it, Jewish power. Why did I make you wait for it? Well, actually, because I'm just out on a dog walk and some normie was walking by and I didn't feel like saying Jewish power as she was within earshot. That's how it goes sometimes, you know. Anyway, she's run off, morning jogger. And Candace Owens obviously has a very, very large audience. She's one of the biggest audiences in, you know, the social media world. So she's got a show on YouTube. It was always basically internet based. Her show used to be, through the Daily Wire, and that's an internet based company. Can you see it? Are there cable systems that included the Daily Wire? Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I don't get cable. I'm not aware of the Daily Wire having like a cable outlet. Maybe it had some sort of cable outlet. How are boomers seeing her? Is it through like Facebook shares? Is that how it is? I don't know. But at any rate, Candace Owens was kind of the boomer whisperer. And she started talking about, well, she started coming out pretty hard against the genocide. So she was calling this a genocide, what's going on in Gaza. She started talking about Leo Frank, the manager of a pencil factory in, what, Marietta, Georgia? Somewhere down in Georgia, in about a little over 100 years ago, like in the, I guess just before World War I, so about 110, 112 years ago, and started talking about things like that. Now, that's a true thing. That is how the ADL got started. It's a little bit esoteric. Is it worth people knowing? It's worth people knowing, but if I were to drop a list of things that people ought to know about Jewish power, I don't think Leo Frank would be in the top 10. I don't know where it would go. You know, obviously, I don't know. I mean, I start off, for instance, right now, I would start off with the Biden cabinet, because you see almost all the important slots have gone to Jews. That's a good place to start. The Trump impeachment, you know, the first one in particular, that's really good. You can look at the Ukraine war and, you know, Victoria Nuland's role in it. Not just Victoria Nuland, but, you know, Volodymyr Zelensky. The Trump impeachment factors into it. You know, why did we have some Canadian Jew as our ambassador? Marie Yovanovitch. Why did we have some Jew who also testified at the Trump impeachment? What's the guy's name? Alexander Vindman. Over there in such a capacity that the Ukraine offered him the spot of Minister of Defense. This is before the war started, but that's what he testified on Congress. I mean, this is all weird stuff. You can talk about, you know, the ownership of the media, social media, things that David Duke talks about over and over. Leo Frank would be far down there. But that's not really where the controversy is. Hey, come on. Shh, come on. It's not where the controversy is. Oh, where was I? It's always something with these dogs. Anyway, so it's not in the top 10, but where does the controversy come from? It's coming from the way her discussion of Jewish power has been evolving. So, and I haven't followed it super closely because I don't watch Candace Owens. I've listened to one of her shows in entirety once just to see what it was like. And it really wasn't for me. You know, a lot of it is personality driven. These younger people seem to spend an awful lot of time talking about themselves. Come on, man. Talking about themselves, like how red-pilled they are, how attacked they are, how canceled they are. And like, you know, like an awful lot of time. I haven't done that much, you know, to an extent. I mean, I will remind you that I got removed from Stripe. What did I get removed from first, YouTube or Stripe? YouTube was June 2019. I guess Stripe was January 2019, something like that. And obviously, I've been doing this for a while. I've been doing it a lot longer than... You know, I've been, well, doing this. What does this mean? Well, I've been doing David's show since 2012. So it's a long time. And I was involved in other things before that. But they spend an awful lot of time doing that. And I'm not only talking about Candace Owens, but she's one of them. Anyway, so she's been talking about, so for one thing, she's been talking about some weird stuff that's not really even related to Jews. So she's made a very, and this is something Ron Unz commented on, she's made a very big deal talking about Brigitte Macron, which, you know, is why. How is that relevant to anything? Brigitte Macron, insisting that Brigitte Macron is a man, baby. And this type of stuff. You know, and there's the Big Mike stuff, too. I think Big Mike, it's a funny meme. You know, Michelle Obama being a man. But to take it seriously, come on. So most people, I don't know about some people, but most people in their lives have come across what you could call high testosterone, high T black women. I mean, there are women who have higher testosterone than other women are in certain ways more masculine. You know, they're bigger, might have a deeper voice. And, you know, Michelle Obama, I guess she's about 6 feet tall. She's pretty tall. Melania is like 5'11". She was a supermodel. So Michelle's bigger, but you know, the thing is, what's her background? I know her brother was a coach of a Division I NCAA team. What, University of Oregon? Yeah, so her brother would be bigger than that, head coach of a NCAA team. So, you know, people have come across. So and as far as high testosterone black women go, she's not even exceptional. So it's just kind of weird. And with all the things going on, you're going to be talking about that. And so for Candace Owens, she says she's staking her personal reputation, or her professional reputation. She's staking her professional reputation on Brigitte Macron being a man. Now, about the only circumstantial evidence that you would get, because, you know, one thing, Macron, Brigitte Macron has three adult children, at least one of whom is older than Emmanuel Macron, the French president. And, you know, so one thing people talk about is, oh, well, where are the pictures of such and such? Do you remember? It's only been at most 20 years that people have been carrying cameras around in their pockets on a regular basis. Because even when electronic photography started, digital photography, it was a camera. It was a digital camera that was the same size and shape as film cameras. And you weren't likely to be carrying one around with you all the time. They started putting very low resolution cameras on cell phones, on flip phones, you know, maybe in the late 1990s, maybe that started. I had a flip phone from around that era, but you know, it took really, really low resolution photos, and so that wasn't fun, and it took up a lot of storage on the flip phone. So people weren't doing it. It's not really until the advent of the iPhone, and what's that, like 2005, 2006, that people started, if they had one of those phones, that they had something that took reasonable photographs. So people weren't taking photographs. When Michelle Obama was pregnant in the 1990s, people weren't carrying this stuff around. And, you know, if you are listening to RBN, you're probably a boomer or at least Gen X or something. And go, how many photos are there of you when you were a kid? Maybe, you know, it depends what kind of mother you had or father you had. There are very few photographs of me. We had a camera, but the camera might be in a drawer somewhere. We might take it on vacation with us in the summer and then put it away and not take it out till the next year. And that's very common. I think of pictures of my dad, very few pictures of my dad. When he died, my mother just struggled to find something to give to the newspaper for his obituary. Really, the best kind of circumstantial indication that she could be a man is simply the 26 or 27 year difference between she and her husband, with she being older. I mean, it's almost unheard of for a man to marry a woman that much older. Their age gap is about the same as the Trumps. But in the case of the Trumps, I mean, Trump was a billionaire playboy, and Melania is a trophy bride. And that type of thing you hear of much, much more often. So that was odd. And of course, with homosexuals, it's not at all unusual to have large age gaps between homosexual men in a relationship. That's actually fairly common. You'll find that a lot. Okay, so that's weird enough. So that's weird enough, but the other problem is, how is she even talking about Jews now? And, you know, what you find is it's very difficult to talk about Jewish power and to talk about it frankly. It's extremely difficult. Very few people do it. because of the repercussions, because you can get canceled. And as much as Candace Owens might want to talk about getting canceled, she's on YouTube. She's on a lot of things. And so how is she talking about it? Well, the way it's evolved, now she's, and this is something, I don't want to name names, but I have a friend who talks about a lot of things, and when he talks about Jews, he doesn't name them as Jews. He typically, nowadays, has been saying the Khazarian Mafia. In the past, he's talked about Sabbatean Frankists. And then the way this terminology goes is within what we call Jews, there's two groups, okay? There's some bad group that's secretive, that they're actually not really Jews. They worship Satan. And they're the ones who cause all of our trouble, and they are descendants of Khazarians, or they're adherents to some otherwise obscure rabbi from hundreds of years ago, Sabbatean Frankists, and they give Jews a bad reputation. In fact, regular Jews who worship the one God, Yahweh, the same God we worship, they're really the biggest victims of all. This is how you can say they're the biggest victims of all. Now, my friend who does this, he needs to do this because he wants to distinguish between the small group of people he says is actually responsible and the rest. Why does he need to do it? Well, because he calls for executing the people who are responsible. So if you're somebody who is calling for extreme accountability, who's calling for really, really harsh measures, we got to execute these people, then if you're talking about Jews in such a way as like they're all implicated, then you're opening yourself up to accusations of wishing a genocide. And so they like to distinguish between not even the good Jews and the bad Jews, but they think that somehow by saying, well, that the people we're complaining about aren't really even Jews anyway. And so you've heard Candace Owens talk about fake Jews or something like that, fake Jews. And they think that this is a way of protecting themselves from such accusations. And to an extent, maybe it does protect, maybe it does give them some protection, because these people are a lot more likely to maintain their platforms, maintain their ability to do this for a living. Ron Unz, in talking about Candace Owens and speculating why she still maintains platforms, has contrasted this with the treatment that, that Judge Napolitano got. Judge Napolitano has on Scott Ritter and others who really aren't calling out Jewish power. He does have on Philip Giraldi. I guess Philip Giraldi's one person who, I haven't heard him do it on Judge Napolitano's shows, but he has done it in other...
Health Simple with Kalwara Shilaji, fact bit number 3. Shilaji is the supreme yoga vaha. Within Ayurveda, Shilaji is the singular substance that towers above all other herbs, herbal minerals, and earth-made adaptogens. Yogavaha refers to substances that have the ability to synergistically make better and carry other substances to its prescribed destination. In the case of Shilaji, most any herb, food, or mineral is amplified with ionic potential, superimposing superior efficacy with increased cellular energy and absorption rates. One of the best applications for Shilaji is to add a drop or two into your favorite herbal tincture and foodstuff. Simply put, Shilaji makes other substances more effective.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Do you begin to smell some funky little things going on? Let me share this story with you. It's not so much a story, it's something I wrote years ago. Read your history, people. Stock markets collapse on Friday. Bank seizures, closures, holidays take place after business hours on Friday. Do currencies or governments also collapse on Friday? Tomorrow's Friday. Will the end come on this Friday, or will the inevitable collapse hold off for a while? The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, people, and the government is out to make you and I pay for it. Will your savings survive a global banking wipeout? What happens when the U.S. sees hyperinflation? What if taxes soar not only for the rich? Can you survive if the stock market tanks? Look, between a stock market wipeout, waves of bank failures, soaring government spending that will lead to hyperinflation, and the destruction of the dollar's value, isn't it time that you prepare for the uncertainty which lies ahead? Protect your money now or forever kiss it goodbye. My friends, I offer you over 6 decades' experience of hard asset ownership and knowledge, and I'm prepared to handle the smallest detail in the balanced protection of your portfolio. For as the future of uncertainty continues to blanket this nation of ours, I believe that I can offer you the privacy, safety, security, and possibly some profitability which you deserve. And so I invite you to visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com for further information regarding protecting your wealth. Or call me, Jeffrey Bennett, at 602-799-8214. Or by email at KettleMoraineLTD@Cox.net for private consultation. Once again, our phone number, 602-799-8214. It's almost Friday.
Calling out Jewish power. He does have on Philip Giraldi. I guess Philip Giraldi is one person who... I haven't heard him do it on Judge Napolitano's shows, but he has done it in other forums, talk about Jewish power as a phenomenon. And but you know what happened to him? Well, he got a strike against his YouTube channel, and it was off the air for a week. So he was looking at that, and Ron Unz was speculating that people talking weirdly about Jewish power is not seen as much of a threat. Now, I will say that when you have people talking, even people talking weirdly about Jewish power, it kind of depends. If people are talking weirdly about Jewish power on RBN, on a platform that where you're not going to get kicked off for talking about Jewish power, that bugs me. Because here, we need to have not just an open discussion, but we should have like honest and accurate. You know, we should try to be accurate, because this is one of the few places where we can be accurate without retribution. If somebody has a large following, you know, and when you're talking about people like Candace Owens or Tucker Carlson, they've got enormous followings, and these followings are people that they picked up. Where were the people that they picked up? Fox News, you know. Tucker Carlson His following is mostly people who started watching him on Fox News. He's got, that's where he, so he's leading them from Fox News to somewhere vague, but in a better direction. And I think you could still say the same about Candace Owens. She's just picked up people on Fox News or Boomer Facebook or whatever. And it's still an improvement, even if it's inaccurate. It's still an improvement. But people who come on to RBN or, you know, other places in the already alternative media who, you know, if they're talking about Sabbatean Frankists and whatnot and Khazarian Mafia, it's not helpful. It depends, you know, if they're injecting these ideas into a much more accurate and honest discussion, and then they're interjecting these weird ideas. And I know, like, from my friend, I know specifically that he doesn't want to talk about Jews because he doesn't want to lose access to, like, credit card processors and things like that. So he doesn't want people coming after him for that. But of course, also, you know, he talks about executing people. And, you know, this is another problem. Like, if you're going to talk about executing people, I just think it's kind of odd for people to say, okay, well, they have all the power now. But when we get the power, when we take that power from them, and they have it all now, but when we take it from them, we're going to execute them. Really? I mean, if they have the power now, why wouldn't they just execute you? So I don't know. Okay, I'm going to take this opportunity to just recap my conceptualization of Jewish power. And I know, you know, for some of you, this, you've heard this before, but first, who are Jews? And so you've got the what Candace Owens is starting to adopt, that, well, there are real Jews who are just great people, and they're the real victims. And then there are these fake Jews who worship Satan, and they're Sabbatean Frankists. You know, other people use other terms. And they're the ones we have to worry about. Well, I tell you, I've had enough exposure to the Jewish community to say that there's no division like this. And, you know, the idea that these people have, that these Sabbatean Frankists promoting that idea, is that throughout the centuries, well, I mean, that there, throughout the generations, there's been some sort of divide within the community. And these Sabbatean Frankists, presumably, they're fake Jews. So they're not descended from the Jews of the Bible, the Hebrews of the Bible. And so they're self-segregating themselves within the Jewish community. And I guess everybody knows about it. But it's just silly. There's no division within the Jewish community between fake Jews and real Jews. I mean, there are divisions in the Jewish community. It's not a monolith. You got people who are Orthodox. Within the Orthodox, you know, there are certain divisions there too. But the Jews, the Ashkenazi Jews, and there's no group of people that's been more genetically studied than the Ashkenazi Jews. Partly because a lot of the people doing the studying are Jews themselves, and they're...
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org, T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
The Ashkenazi Jews, and there's no group of people that's been more genetically studied than the Ashkenazi Jews, partly because a lot of the people doing the studying are Jews themselves, and they're very ethnocentric, and they're interested in this. Also because, as a result of massive inbreeding, Ashkenazi Jews are subject to a variety of genetic maladies, like Tay-Sachs syndrome, and so they're studied for medical reasons. But they're very, very studied, and with the exception of some graduate student at Johns Hopkins University, I don't remember his name, but he came up with something that would back up the notion that they're the Khazarians, that they're not actually descended from the Jews of the Bible. But that is very much an outlier in a very, very well studied topic, and overwhelmingly, the evidence is that the Ashkenazi Jews are descended from a relatively small group of people, mostly male, who left the Levant, who had left the Middle East, and went into Europe with very few women. Because it was more men than women, they wound up having Germanic or Italic or whatever, European admixture. So probably not Germanic, but more you know, like Roman, whatever. So they had some European admixture, which winds up accounting for like 30% of their ancestry. The male lineage is almost completely Middle Eastern. And then they went through a bottleneck 1,000 to 800 years ago. What does the bottleneck mean? So there were Jews in Europe, but the Ashkenazi in particular are descended from a very small splinter group that presumably went east and went through a very small bottleneck of less than 1,000 people, and then over the past, 400 years or so, 400 or 500 years ago, has really exploded in, that had massive population growth. But because they came from so few people, if you were to do a family tree and you were to go back 20 generations in a family tree, so what's 20 generations? 20 generations. 10 generations, if a generation's 30 years, that's 300 years. 20 generations would be about 600 years. So if you're going to go back 20 generations, you would, and look at their family tree, you would find, if you traced this line, just some random line back 20 generations, mother, father, 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 mother, mother, father, father, mother, or some other one, mother, 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 father, mother, mother, father, 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 mother, mother, something like that, you would find the same people over and over and over again. Because if you're going back 10 generations, you're going to find there would be 1,024 positions. Okay, that's 10 to the 10th power. If you were to go back 20 generations, what's 20 to the 10 to the 20th power? You're going to find a million, a little more than a million ancestors. Well, there were 600 years ago, there weren't a million Ashkenazi Jews. You know, and if you went back, say, 800 years ago, you find 1,000 Jews. So these, you find the same people over and over and over again on different lines. Just like, you know, if two cousins marry each other, the resulting baby would have on both sides of the family, on the mother's side and the father's side, you're going to find shared great grandparents, right? If brother siblings marry each other, the resulting baby, instead of having four grandparents, only has two grandparents, but it has those two grandparents on both sides, right? So that's how it is, and that's why the on 23andMe, if you do this, and they show you local relatives, Jews just and there are articles written about this by 23andMe or by Ancestry.com, one or the other, of why it is that all Jews seem to be distant cousins of each other, or you know, fourth, fifth cousins of each other. So anywho, the Ashkenazi, who make up the vast bulk of the Jews in the United States, that's their ancestry. The Sephardic Jews, they also descend largely from the Middle East. There are the Ethiopian Jews, who aren't significant in the United States, and there are some in Ethiopia, some in Israel. They probably were converts. So it's not that as if there weren't converts here and there. But so that's where they're from. How is it structured? And the thing is, I talk to people, and I have a friend I talk to who's very smart and up on a lot of things, but he keeps talking in terms of the plan and they. And recently I just said, well, okay, who are they? You know, like this government, this secret government that is issuing these orders, making these decisions, who are they? And he couldn't say. He couldn't give names. He couldn't give names. You know, in the past, you've heard people talk about, well, like, if you were Lyndon LaRouche, and he wasn't even giving, like, a list of Jewish names so much. I mean, Queen Elizabeth. I guess Henry Kissinger, might call it Henry Kissinger, but it'd be like Queen Elizabeth and George H.W. Bush and the Black Pope or whoever, that there's, you know, some committee of people. Of course, those people have all died. So who is it now? People won't name individuals. You know, maybe a few people will say George Soros, but is he really the dictator of the world? So there's this idea, and I don't know why it is. Maybe a lot of people in conspiracy theory realm, do a lot of them have a military background and are just used to this kind of top-down command structure? I don't know, but it's not a top-down command structure. People act as if it is, but then they can't say who's actually at the top. They can't name names. They just say, you know, them. It's them. It's they. It's the secret government. They'll use some euphemism, but they won't name names. Other people in the conspiracy theory world, I mean, you'll hear people talk about, well, okay, there is actually Barack Obama. Barack Obama is still running the country. Barack Obama didn't run the country when he was president, so I don't see why people think he would be running the country when he wasn't president. When Barack Obama was president, you had all sorts of people pulling strings. You know, David Axelrod and Rahm Emanuel, for instance. I'm not saying they pulled all the strings, but you had a lot of people who were working in a lot of ways, and Barack Obama, who was more on top of things, obviously, than Biden, but he wasn't running the country. And when Trump was president, he wasn't running the country. He might have tried, but he certainly wasn't running it. So nobody can name who it is. And I say, well, look, it's decentralized. These people, the many, many Jews whom we can name at CNN or NBC or the New York Times, you've seen those giant charts with people's pictures and names and then, like, Jewish stars. We can name the people at CNN. We can name the people at the New York Times. We can name the people in the cabinet. We can name a whole bunch of people. And what I'm saying is they don't need to have a central command in order to give them orders. Okay, these people at the CNN don't need to have some sort of Elders of Zion central committee issuing orders to them. They're going to work. They're going to be hypersensitive to Jewish interests. Could we say that? They're going to be extremely sensitive to Jewish interests without a central command structure telling them to. Okay? And they're naturally going to tend to work together. The same with other... Now, I'm not saying that there's no coordination. So you've got, for instance, you can look at the Council of Presidents, what is it, of 50 major Jewish organizations, the Council of Presidents, is that what they call it? And and you can see who they are, and you can name their names, and you can look it up on Wikipedia or Google or whatever and find which organizations, which are these 50 or so organizations. And it's, you know, you'll find AIPAC, you'll find the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, you'll find some groups that you've never heard of that aren't even super important. Maybe like the women's group Hasada, is that what it's called? Hasada. I don't know. I can't be expected to remember all this stuff. You'll find things like that, and it represents. It represents the Jewish nonprofit communité. Okay, who don't you find in the Council of Presidents? You don't find the head of New York Times or CNN. So you're not finding the media moguls. They're not in there. But that's part of the Jewish power structure. So what I'm saying is the Council of Presidents is not any central committee of Jewish power. It's one venue in which a section of Jewish power has some coordination. But you don't find in the Council of Presidents the media moguls. You don't find the Israeli. You don't find the think tanks either. You don't find the Israeli military. You don't find all sorts of aspects of Jewish power. It's decentralized. And you know, people talk about the United States being run by Israel, that it's a puppet of Israel, that the American government's a puppet of Netanyahu. Well, no, it's not a puppet of Netanyahu. But the thing is, Netanyahu, it's a little more transparent in Israel how, who's running is Israel and how they get to be in these places. But it's that the United States is run by ethnocentric Jews who prioritize Israeli interests. So it's Netanyahu has a lot of influence, but why does he have the influence? He has the influence because you've got people like Sheldon Adelson or George Soros or Haim Sabin or a lot of mega donors who finance our campaigns. He's influential because you've got a lot of committed, you could call them Zionists, but really they're committed Jewish ethno-nationalists, partisans, Jewish supremacists, you could even say, who dominate the media. It's all very decentralized, and they don't need to be told how to work together. They've been working together naturally. It's just something that comes to them naturally. All right, I'm going to just, in the remaining minutes, I want to switch attention over to the presidential election. And I think it matters, but I think it matters in kind of unpredictable ways. I think it matters a lot whether Trump or Harris are president. And here again, like, I do think politics is real. But it's unpredictable, and it's real, but it's not like an our democracy kind of real. There's a lot of politics that goes on, you have to, when you're thinking of politics, it goes way, way, way beyond elections. So you're talking about what happens in the media. You're talking about lobbying. You're talking about campaign contributions. You're talking about a lot of things. And so when I say it's real, it's not that it's all limited to elections. That's not what I'm saying. So what you've got now and the polls, what do the polls show? Well, first of all, even to the extent people want to take honest polls, how can you even take an honest poll? There's always been problems with polls. In the old days, they would call up phones, and phones were landlines. So, we're talking about the 1980s. Was there even a cell phone network? When did the cell phone networks even start? In the 1980s, were there people with gigantic Generation 1 car phones? Did you have car phones? Yeah, I guess you did. I remember once getting a ride. This would have been, it wasn't in America. It was actually overseas. But in 1983, I think, somebody picked me up, and he had a phone in his car. So he had something like that. I was driving around Tokyo with a phone in the car. Did he call anybody? I don't know if he called anybody, but anyway, people didn't really have cell phones, and there's a Steve Martin movie where he ripped a car phone out of his car and brought it into a restaurant and started talking really loudly on it. It was silly, but so they would call up phones, and of course, almost everybody had phones. I didn't have a phone in the 80s, at least in the early 80s, I didn't have a phone, but most people had a phone. But even then, when everybody had a phone, not everybody was at home to answer it. And so if you were calling up people, well, you were going to you might be oversampling unemployed people or retired people and undersampling people who had jobs. Well, you know, you can try to make adjustments for it. Now we've got a situation where when I get called, I usually get called by pollsters on my landline because I still have a landline. Are people with landlines being oversampled as opposed to people who only have cell phones? And that might be true. You know, they do polling. I get text polls sometimes. You know, I get these text messages saying who do you want to vote for? A for Trump, B for Harris, C for somebody else, or you know, 1, 2, and 3.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read one. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered from a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious, he almost died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives that were more affordable, he tried Extendivite. Since taking it, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Hey there, this is Sheila with Hempaste by Manutra. Why is hempaste better than other CBD options on the market? It's important to point out that the common CBD oil does not contain CBDA or CBGA, and they're only found in fresh or raw hemp products, like hempaste. Hempaste contains the entire plant, minus any stems. This means the product retains the complete genetic code of the plant, which also includes those two vital cannabinoids, CBGA and CBDA. Over and over, experts keep saying the more intact or less processed the hemp plant is, the more effective it is. Happy hemp paste.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org. And visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Call 855-656-8872. Mention RBN.
They do polling. I get text polls sometimes. You know, I get these text messages saying who do you want to vote for? A for Trump, B for Harris, C for somebody else, or, you know, 1, 2, and 3. It's even if you want to do an honest poll, getting the sampling right is difficult. Okay. Then you get to the thing, well, do they even want to do an honest poll? I don't know. But one thing you can see from the polls is trends. And are they trends that really reflect support in society? Probably to a large extent. You know, when you see what you saw this year, Trump was consistently ahead of Biden. by a small amount, but very consistent. There wasn't a whole lot of movement. And then when Biden did his debate thingy, then you got a lot of movement in away from Biden. And then Biden dropped. And then, you know, Trump had the assassination attempt, and you got even more movement, although not a whole lot, but you got some. And then Biden dropped out. Harris came in, and Harris came in much stronger, with much stronger poll numbers than Biden. Went up. Maybe she's declining a little bit, but according to polls, she's ahead, and she is ahead in almost all of the battleground states, except for Arizona, and Pennsylvania is a tie. That's what it says now. So right now, if the election were held and the polling numbers reflected the vote, Harris would win. Could it happen? I don't know. Like, I tell you one thing. When I get called by pollsters, I'm going to continue to answer that I will vote for Jill Stein. Do I think that people in swing states should vote for Trump? We'll see. The election's not for another 8 weeks. And I think it matters, but I think it matters in unpredictable ways. You know, there are people who say, well, Trump's the ideal person to have white, to get white men enthusiastic about fighting a war for Israel. It could happen. A lot of things could happen, and it's unpredictable. I think chlamydia is more predictable. I think you'd get pretty much a continuation of what we have now. There wouldn't be a whole lot of deviation from what we have now. I don't think it's necessarily going to be the same people running everything. I think she'll have her own crew come in. But it's not going to be that much different, probably. With Trump, it's going to be different, but in unpredictable ways. It's hard to predict. And I am encouraged that he's got Kennedy, who, not that I like Kennedy that much, but the type of role that Kennedy might get might be in areas where he's good, like in either healthcare or like overseeing some intelligence stuff, getting information out, but probably in healthcare. Tulsi Gabbard, that is a positive, even though I don't think she's like super, super strong on these things. I don't think she's super smart, but I think she's pretty smart, and she's got good instincts. I don't know if she's got the strength to stand up against all the people that need to be stood up against. But at any rate, that's my show for today. I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Legal.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Hey, do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the ones in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, or fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you'll see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Check us out at SusannahSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle